This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Thank you so much for listening today. North Korea is showing the world its new longer-range intercontinental ballistic missiles. Now, analysts say a nuclear strike using those missiles is still very unlikely, but there's no doubt that the improved capability is changing the calculations of everyone within range. Here's U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley speaking at the U.N. on Wednesday.
Make no mistake, North Korea's launch of an ICBM is a clear and sharp military escalation. The North Korean regime openly states that its missiles are intended to deliver nuclear weapons to strike cities in the United States, South Korea, and Japan. And now it has greater capacity to do so.
New resolutions condemning North Korea may be coming soon at the United Nations. Meanwhile, far from UN headquarters in New York, the residents of Hawaii are starting to prepare for what seems like a return to the nuclear preparedness of the Cold War. We're going to hear about Hawaii's new reality in just a few minutes, but no country experiences the risk of North Korean escalation like its South Korean neighbor. And that's where we begin today. Joining me now to discuss what preparedness looks like in South Korea is Sungyoon Lee, professor in Korean studies at the Fletcher School at Tufts University in Boston. Professor, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And it's wonderful to have you. You know, we hear so much about this belligerent and unpredictable neighbor to the north for South Koreans. Do South Koreans live in a climate of constant threat?
Yes, they do, but there's a blasé attitude on the part of the South Korean government and the public at large. And the reasons are complex, but the past 64 years since the end of the Korean War in 1953 has been a period of de facto peace, unstable but real peace and real prosperity for the South Korean people. About 75% of the South Korean population have no first-hand experience, no recollection of the war. All they know is affluence and freedom, and that means that there's a sort of a denialist mentality when it comes to viewing the North. They see North Korea more as a pesky, poor neighbor rather than a security threat.
So you talked about a blasé attitude on the streets of Seoul among young people. What does blasé mean? That even though there are thousands of pieces of artillery just over the border, people just kind of go about their regular lives and don't worry about it?
I think so. And I think national education is a factor in this. With a change in the government, North Korea policy and narratives teaching about North Korea changes dramatically. I remember 10 years ago in the summer of 2007, there was a survey in a major Korean newspaper asking elementary school students who were the major belligerents in the Korean War. And the majority of respondents replied it was South Korea versus Japan. So there is a tendency to have sort of a romantic attachment or to view North Korea in an illusory way on the part of the general public. And I would say in defense of this kind of apathy or ignorance that South Koreans cannot live in constant fear of North Korea. But I think on the other hand, there is a lack of war preparedness, alertness, and basic information about North Korea. There is really no money in North Korean studies. That's a terrible pun, but there are very few colleges in South Korea that offer majors, a college major in North Korean studies. People don't want to talk about North Korea too much, lest they be understood, mistaken as a North Korea sympathizer. And all these are contributing factors to the general ignorance, indifference, and lack of war preparedness.
These are some of the factors in South Korean culture, Professor, that you mentioned. But these are two countries technically still in a state of war 63 years later, as you mentioned. What about the military preparedness within the halls of government? Are there bomb shelters around Seoul? Are there regular drills? Do people who are in a position and are paid to care about this stuff prepare?
Those who are paid to care about this stuff, yes, they do. But when you imagine, say, the residents of Manhattan, are they prepared for an invasion or a war even after 9/11 now many years ago? Probably not. There are bomb shelters, thousands actually, mostly subway stations. And South Korea has one of the world's best, most efficient subway system. But do the people know what exactly to do in case they are shelled in the heart of Seoul? when you think of Manhattan, multiply, magnify that by multiple times, you have this big metropolis, which is Seoul, with a population of over 10 million, lying vulnerable to North Korean barrage of artillery. And this kind of reality has implications, that is, which favor North Korea. We know the regime in North Korea has very little regard for human life. If they were to go to war, I think South Korea would be more prone to placate North Korea. South Korea does not want to escalate tension with North Korea because, again, there has been unprecedented growth, prosperity, and happiness over the past 60 years. We have too much to lose. That's what South Koreans feel.
We're used to consuming, even here in the United States, the sort of regular bellicose threatening rhetoric from North Korea. And I always assumed that that type of rhetoric had a much bigger impact in South Korea, even than it would have here, because they're so close by and they understand the nuance so much better. But does it just wash over them in a way?
I think it does. And then there's at times a strange response from responsible government officials. I remember when North Korea gave the U.S. a 7-rocket salute, firing off 6 short-range missiles and 1 long-range missile on July 4th in 2006. The head of the South Korean counterpart of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee said, well, that long-range missile is targeting the U.S. It's not targeting us, so we shouldn't be concerned. So this kind of, you know, irresponsible and blasé response and attitude are exhibited among responsible government officials occasionally as well.
Real threats from North Korea and new missile capabilities met sometimes, at least across South Korean culture, with maybe a more relaxed attitude. Seung-Yoon Lee, professor at the Fletcher School at Tufts, thank you.
Thank you.